Welcome to the Time and Talks podcast. I'm your host, Tejal V. Patel, and this is the place where we have refreshingly real talks about the biggest problems moms face in motherhood and life and the spiritual solutions to solve them. If you're ready to reset your mindset with some major truth bombs, well then let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode of the Time and Talks podcast. I am so blessed to be in your earbuds today. Today, we are going to dive spiritually into something that is so relevant for our time. Now, the Time and Talks podcast has been such an important and integral part of the last 5 years of my life. However, as I've evolved, I realize fluidity and flexibility is something that's essential for me as I'm growing. I'm moving away from rigidity and control and being in a box. So right now I'm being called and inspired to speak. And there's so much that I want to say as we are entering into the awakening of the greatest consciousness of ourselves and the planet. And this 2024 year has been quite intense because it's been a quickening of growth, awakening of truths being coming out into the public, which we're going to see so much of that. And it really is going to be a testament how we all experience it is going to be very different based on the consciousness that we're at. If we are very attached to our lives and it's hard to change and it's hard to be open to shifts and changes, like the seasons of that we see in nature, we're going to have a harder time as we move into this recalibration. But my greatest service is to not make it that you feel like you're being jolted awake, that it feels like you are learning truth in a way that is not overly anxiety provoking, but it's also not going to be sugar-coated in a way that's like, oh, love and light, I'm only going to give you the positive and only just see from a higher perspective and not be able to see the darkness. Part of the growth of humans and as souls is that we are shining light on darkness. The importance of light is like we don't turn on the light when the sun is out. We turn on the light when it's dark. That's when we need to be illuminated. And so we have to have some level of capacity and strength and resilience to be able to withstand, witness, hold space, and acknowledge and not hide and shudder and shy away from darkness that we're going to see coming up, bubbling up in the surface through all the different systems that are going to potentially be breaking down this year and beyond in the next, I would say, 10 years. This specific podcast episode is going to be on the crux of what it really means to be a soul-aligned human. Now, I'm going to start off gentle and soft and give you the big picture. We talk so much about spirituality and about the things, whether it's meditation, regulation, the practices that help us connect to the divinity of who we are. But as I've gone through this journey, through the felt sense of healing myself and working through it, I almost feel like I have a blueprint. It's like making sense now. All the different pieces that we were doing all these years, shadow work, meditation, breath work, connecting to the chakras. What are all these things? How are they interconnected? And so I want to share with a series of different podcasts based on how long it feels relevant to keep sharing. I want to bring you into the awareness of this truth and make it easy for you to understand and not make it in a way where it's daunting, overwhelming, and scary. So let's dive in to what does it mean to be a soul-aligned human? Because this really has become my tagline. Let's become and raise soul-aligned humans. So what does that really mean? It really means that you are moving through the world, this 3D dimension, this earth, this life, this experience, this incarnation, with the wisdom of divinity and your soul. You remember the truth of who you are. When we were born into this physical realm, when we are literally going through the birth canal, we go through what's called the veil of forgetfulness. We forget the truth of who we are. We come upon this school essentially to relearn who we are. And in that process of relearning and re-remembering, we have to unlearn all the faulty things that we learned on this planet that kind of went with the narrative that we are separate beings, that we're not special, that we don't have power, that there is this divine energy that has power and we are here to sin and be punished and we are less than. We are going to be the realm of the oppressor or being oppressed, the victim villain mentality. And then there's those superheroes that come out. The realm of this world is remembering that we're all superheroes and we were born with superpowers. It's just that we forgot. We forgot. And when we have our Clark Kent moment or our Spider-Man moment where it like wakens within us, we realize that we're banding together in the unity of being the Avengers, right? Of supporting unity consciousness, of becoming instrument consciousness, of service to others. And as we navigate the world of the ego, we start unfolding into that. So when I talk about soul-aligned humans, I want to bring it into the realm of the chakra system, because the chakra system really is kind of like a really cool guide point of our consciousness and what level that we're at. Are we spiritually growing, progressing, or staying stagnant? There is no regression in the spiritual growth journey. We might feel that way, like, oh my gosh, I thought I learned this lesson, and why am I doing the same thing over again? But it's always with a different vantage point. It's almost like you can't unknow something that you know. Like if you know that a triangle has three sides, like you just can't unknow it. Just it's deep within you. You may not think about it every single day, but that wisdom and that memory still lives within you. So for us, we start off with an ego persona, right? We come into the world. Why is it like children are so connected to the truth of who we are? And then we are with these relationships with fallible trauma inflicted, unhealed human beings who are our supports and our guides, that we label them as parents, who are there to usher us for the first 18 years of our lives. We're primarily the relationship was with them, and it's not always the healthiest relationship. And I really look at this time period as research. It is the research giving us a felt sense in our body of what it is that we're going to be called to evolve, heal, break the cycle of when we become emotionally mature. Carl Jung said that up until 40, everything is research. Life really begins after 40. And there is proof in the spiritual community as well that like awakening starts to happen in their 20s. This is like generalization, but true awakening of like understanding the concepts of like embodying the truth of who you are really only happened to me after my 40s. Like I did accumulate so much wisdom. And along the path of like moving from ego, I transcended into a spiritual ego, as many of us do. It's like you've accumulated so much information that you almost have this sense of like superiority and maybe even bypassing the human aspect of us because we are aware of these broad, big concepts. But then it requires us a grounding and a humbling of like returning back, of not setting away and doing away with the human part of us and not just residing in the divine part of us of like the love and light and the vibration in the realm that's outside of this. It's about balancing the both. And that really happens with life experience, with wisdom, with time. And that's why I think after 40, really this integration started happening. Now, I think that with the quickening of the timeline, we may see that this is going to happen much faster for people who are awakening right now or for generations who are much younger. I think for us, we were the initial trailblazers, the breaking the cycle. Like that was our consciousness. We're born in the 80s, you know, 70s, 80s, early 90s. And we're at the age right now, the prime age of when we can make a shift and be leading pioneers in the ushering of this new consciousness into the human realm and this 3D realm. So when we start, we come in pure, right? Yes, we have our checks and balances of our karma that we have carried from previous lifetime, but the essence and the vibration of us is so pure, right? As a baby. And then these karmic patterns, these personas start coming out, blended with the experiences that we have with our primary caregivers. Now we create an ego, this primitive part of our brain that is strictly there for survival and self-protection and self-preservation gets activated. And that's where our saboteur personas come out to protect us. Shehrzad Zemin's book, Positive Intelligence, really does a great job kind of highlighting that, like the persona of the victim and the judge and the perfectionist and the people pleaser and the restless, like I need to constantly be doing to stay active because I don't feel safe slowing down. The hyperachiever, the hypervigilant, the hyperrational, all these personas are formed from our ego. There are subsects of our ego, but the ultimate persona that I feel like we take on as the ego is that we are a victim, that life is happening to us. We want to point fingers and blame other people. We want to be seen as superior, special, important, and the ego will do everything in its power to make us feel that way. And the ego runs on three beliefs. Only the ego is a tricky shyster and will make us disconnect, act in ways that is not aligned with our highest self. But it only does this because it believes in three things. The first belief of the ego is lack and separation and not enoughness. When we look at the world through the lens of good and bad, right? In the veil of forgetfulness, we forgot that we are one with the divine. We are an expression of divinity, of Shiva consciousness in human form, in this physical form. We forgot that. We are the speck of sand in the entire beach, right? We are all the same. We are the ray of sun, but the sun and the source is the same as the ray of sun, and we are the rays of suns. Literally, the son of God, right? S-O-N, the son of God. So, and the daughters of God. Let's be politically correct there. But we are forgetting that we are connected. And so we look at the world through the lens of good, bad, ugly, you know, beautiful, healthy, unhealthy, negative, positive. And so when we look at that, through the lens, especially the good and bad, because the ego compares in order to keep us safe. And judgment is the number one kind of characteristic of the victim, right? We want to judge to make ourselves feel safe. And we have to see, am I safe because they're similar to me? Or if they're different, then it feels unsafe. It feels unfamiliar. And then we assume that it's a threat. The ego mind will assume overwhelm is a threat. Differences are a threat. And loss is a threat. Like if we don't have what we want and our needs are not met right now, that instant gratification, it feels like a threat. So then our fight or flight gets activated, our nervous system gets dysregulated from a physical standpoint, and we are disconnected from the way that we connect with others. So lack and separation. And it manifests in the feeling of sadness and disappointment. Whenever you feel sad or disappointment, know that this is the ego belief of lack and separation that is being activated. Now, if you look at it from the opposite polarity, from the universal consciousness perspective, there's only oneness. There, everything is in relation to one another, even the things that you think are separate. I'm in relation to this microphone at this moment. I'm in relation to the air because I am breathing it. You can never not be in relation because of the sheer fact of breathing. You will always be in relation to something. I'm in relation to the seat that I'm sitting in right now. I'm relationship with my eyes are seeing this tree that I'm looking at. So I'm in relationship. So try to find something that you are not in relationship with. I urge you, I bet you cannot find anything because there's nothing that exists. There's everything is in relation and everything is from one power and one source. There's no like evil and good source. It's all the same polarity, just like the sunlight and the darkness, right, of the night. It's not that the darkness is bad because the night is bad. It's just the absence of light. And that's why we need light workers to be illuminated. It's a dark, dark meaning not evil, but dark, think of it's nighttime. And the time period that we're living in right now, as Sister Shivani says, is the 4 a.m. window. And usually at 4 a.m., because I wake up at 4 a.m., it is dark outside. And some people are awakening, literally, and some people are dead asleep. And it doesn't mean that the 4 a.m. window is to blame for that or the darkness outside. That is just the time period that we're in. And as the time when we go into the 5 a.m. realm and the 6, more people would be awakened because the light is going to be illuminated. So we just have to remember to turn on the light and not be so hooked and identified with the darkness and people who are still sleeping, right? Trying to jolt them awake and be like, you need to wake up. That's our fear-based programming, our lack-based programming that is wanting to force other people to wake up. I can say and raise my hand because I've been there. Like, we have to go through all these things, and I've definitely been there. And so the way that we start reintegrating this ego, because we're not trying to kill the ego, it is a part of us. It's the lower three chakras within us. We need that foundation of to be cleared in order for there to be a foundation of higher consciousness and frequency to rise in our chakra system and to help us elevate and spiritually grow. So that means that we're not trying to kill the ego. It's not the enemy. We're not at war with ourselves. We're just integrating and understanding and being with it. So when you recognize that there's a lack or a separation, how can we activate abundance mindset? And I'm not just thinking about money, because that's so loaded for people. Look into nature. Nature is the greatest teacher of abundance. And when you start seeing the abundance, it's going to awaken in you the natural state of abundance, perfection, harmony that is within us, and recognize that we are one with that. So use nature as your teacher. Get out in nature. Even if you live in a concrete jungle, the air we breathe, the trees that we see, there's always a space of connecting with the reality of the God reality, the universal reality. And how do we transform judgment? I've done a podcast on this before, but for me, is moving out of the realm of my need to be understood is no longer as great as my need to understand. So when our ability to empathize, which is just the ability to have the capacity to hear someone, to listen to understand and not listen to be right or listen to respond, when we activate that state of I'm willing to understand what happened to you that made you the way that you are. When you can settle into that and not make it all about you, the ego always wants to be the center of conversation, the center of attention, me, 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 right? And can you put yourself aside and be able to enter the story and the frequency and the life of someone else and really hold space for it without any urgency or desperation to be heard, to be fix the problem, to be seen? Can you see others? And that's where I feel like unity consciousness really awakens, because you feel deeply connected in the state of listening to understand and really being in relation with other people's and their feelings and holding space, and not being the fixer, that role that the ego wants us to be, or the avoider. Like, I'm empathetic and I can't be around low vibe people. And let me tell you, I'm a number one proponent of boundaries. So don't get me wrong. I will not be the one to say, like, violate your boundaries and let people take advantage of you. But there's a way to hold capacity and be with people without giving your power away and feeling like you need to create distance with people because they're taking advantage of you. That's still the oppressor victim mentality, the victim villain, oppressor oppressed archetype playing out in you. The second ego belief is attachment. So when we feel like there's a lack, like I'm not good enough and I need XYZ, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with my life. There's something wrong with you. So there's something I need to change, whether it's myself, something in my life, and the other person. I need to change that person in order for me to feel safe. And this is the realm where habits and addictions and seeking unhealthy attachment needs and codependency in relationships happen, right? Our sense of safety is in something outside of us. We're constantly outward focused. Something outside of us is going to give me a sense of fulfillment. It's outcome-based happiness. And nothing outside of you will make you feel happy permanently. And I don't even like to say happy because happy can be a fleeting emotion. I'm talking about joy and ease and contentment, right? The state of just like not seeking and searching and wanting and striving and like needing. You're like in a state of like everything that I have, like I'm in a state of abundance. I have enough. Like it doesn't mean that you don't manifest. It's just it comes from a place of enoughness and an abundance. And you're not attached to anything in order to feel fulfilled in this moment, right? Some future thing needs to happen. And it's my happiness is contingent on that. And the emotion that manifests from this is naturally frustration. Like when things don't work out the way that you want, you get frustrated. When people don't behave the way that you want, you get frustrated. And so even addictions to things like TV, to porn, to music that's like, you know, low vibe music, to social media, to alcohol, to sugar, to binge eating, everything is this attachment to sensory needs. And so that's to our physical body, right? Like getting a hit of pleasure and dopamine, like cheap dopamine at the expense of like, I don't want to feel my feelings. I want to numb and escape. And that's where attachment to things and habits, whether it's, you know, working out even or retail therapy, it's like we're using something outside of us to give us a sense of safety and self-soothing. And so self-regulation work really comes into this because you're learning to be your own sense of safety inside your body instead of seeking it outside of you. And we're going to do, everybody in our own right will go through our own checklist of things that we believe make us worthy, important, makes life happy and successful. And we're going to tick mark all of it. And there's going to be a point and our awakening on this journey is different. And our level of tolerance of this is different. There's going to be a point that we're just going to wipe our hands, be like, I'm done with this because nothing out there has fulfilled me. And then that's when the journey goes inward. That's when the healing journey starts. And the thing is, if you don't go inward, you're always going to be looking outward. The third ego belief is control. You feel disappointed that you don't have what you want. You get frustrated that you can't, of this happiness, this outward thing that you're seeking and striving and searching for and waiting for. And then this is the element of control that the ego comes into because it ultimately knows that it is not in control. And that is the death of the ego then. The integration of the ego, I should say, not the death of the ego because the ego never really dies. It could either transform or get integrated. And so control, well, way that the ego looks at it is that the lens of I'm either in control or I'm out of control. And out of control is the negative polarity. It's like, this is not what I want. So it strives to demand and dominate and be the oppressor and violate people's boundaries without their consent, get their needs met by any means necessary. So power, control, manipulation, whatever. You just want self-preservation and be in control because we feel so insecure of being out of control. But if we look at through the lens of divinity and the higher self, it's actually being in control is the negative polarity and being in trust is the positive polarity. That is when we look that nothing, even if what I want happens, I will be okay. And even if I don't get what I want, I will be okay. And to master this takes a lot of life experience. So you got to live life a little bit. Just like how Carl Jung said, like 40 up until 40, it's just research. You got to live life a little bit and survive it. The trauma, the pain, the devastation, and make it on the other side because that is your own proof that I've survived every single trauma, every single hardship, every single difficult moment, and I'm still here smiling and can still feel joy, right? It is not the defining factor of my life. And so every one of us who's been on a spiritual journey has gone through a dark night of the soul. And I believe that it's this uprising of these beliefs one at a time that is coming up to the surface to be healed, to be addressed, to be felt. And right now, I think the time is the control aspect, is that this living in a state of uncertainty created so much chaos and drama and nervous system dysregulation in 2020. And it's like we're approaching another realm of that that's going to happen from the people who are elites and trying to be to maintain their power and control. So they're going to try to dominate us, to divide and conquer us, to basically use these ego beliefs, lack, separation, creating attachment and consumerism needs to keep paying money into the system so it lines their pocket and they get rich while we're getting less. And controlling us, right? Like controlling our attention through media, through these through AI, through social media, through these like Apple Vision goggles, which is the most absurd thing. Like it is trying to disconnect us from reality and disconnect us from ourselves and our higher self. It's wanting to keep us stuck in the ego beliefs because then you're in a state of survival, threat, overwhelm, anxiety. Your nervous system and your immunity is low, so you're susceptible to getting sick. When you are sick, it's difficult to activate and elevate yourself into becoming a soul aligned human. You become like a shell of a human being who's kind of like a zombie, right? Like you are dependent on things and unhealthy foods and you're separated from one another. So we feel like we need to fight and, you know, protect ourselves and be at war with one another. We try to control, dominate, manipulate. And so really see how these things play out because control is going to manifest as overthinking and anxiety in your life. And you can just look at the feeling that you're feeling and it's going to show you exactly the belief that you have, the ego belief that needs to be transcended and to be affirmed and then requalified. So those are the lower three chakras. Now, at some point when we hit a state of personal development, we're like, I'm tired of being a victim and seeing myself like a victim. And you open up to the wisdom, whether it's your mind through manifestation or personal development or mindset work, you realize that my mind is pretty powerful and it's connected to something greater. And so now we go into the realm of personal development and spiritual growth and healing and shadow work and chakras and crystals and Reiki. And, you know, these are the typical things that we now enter into. Oracle cards and Hay House Radio and Super Soul Sunday and past life regression. Like these are the realms of the things that open us up. And we may experience, for example, meditation or yoga or breath work and those type of practices now elevating our frequency in our body, opening up some space and capacity. What is the big bullet thing that we've been seeing over the last 2-3 years? Nervous system regulation stuff, somatic work, right? Like this is the stuff that's helping us elevate our, create space, capacity in our body to elevate the consciousness and energy and frequency of our soul. Because our nervous system needs to be ready to handle that higher frequency. So once we, what we do is like we go from the three lower chakras, then we go into the three higher chakras, which is the throat, the ajna, the third eye, and the crown. And then there's beyond, there's more chakras, like the higher mind, which is like above the crown chakra. And what we do now is focus on the love and the light, right? We've been in this disparity and darkness and trauma and dark night of the soul for so long. We see this glimpse of this light and we don't want to come back down to earth. We are just like rooted in that. We don't want to look at the darkness and of this world. Now, at some point, what forms is from that ego to a spiritual ego. This spiritual ego has the same elements, but is now using spiritual terms to make us feel more superior. We're hyper-judgmental to those who are not awakening. We still harbor guilt and shame. Like if we feel anger or the emotions that a human does, like we feel guilt or we have this intrusive thought that comes in our head and we're like, oh my gosh, a spiritual person would not think like that, or I should not feel angry. So we bypass. And that's not part of the journey too, right? Like we distance ourselves in relationships because they're sketchy and I'm an empath and I need to protect myself. And don't get me wrong, on this journey of elevating, there is a sense of solidarity and aloneness that happens so that we can really heal and really transcend our way of thinking out of the ego without having too much negative influence on others. So we will feel like, yes, some of these people are falling off and that's going to happen. It's, you know, and we honor that. But it's when we are like consistently like, I don't want to deal with people at all because they suck and I'm just going to stay in my little bubble and my spiritual little bubble and give people love and light and that's it. And, you know, stay on my spiritual high horse. That's not conducive either, because now we're in just a elevated realm of the ego, which is a natural place to go. So we go from the bottom all the way to the top. And now what the real journey is of being a soul aligned human is living from the frequency of your heart chakra, because in between those lower three chakras and those upper chakras is the heart. And the fourth dimension, which is like our planet has evolved from 3D to 4D in 2012. 4D consciousness is essentially we're clearing out the 3D karma of power, control, lack, separation, attachment, into moving into the realm of the divinity, where the divinity can express itself through our human expression through our heart. The more our heart stays open to the frequency of love, then that is how we're bringing and channeling the light of the divine and into the expression into this planet so that we can activate the light in others. Now, we're a mirror, so our light may be too bright for some people who are still awake and they're going to want to pull the cover over their heads, or they might yell at you and shout at you because they're like, oh my gosh, they're shining your bright on me. They're going to want to squash it and turn your light down. There's some people who are going to look at your light and it's going to activate something in them. It's going to activate the light in you. Your job is simply just to shine the light. It's irrelevant whether you trigger one's shadows or you trigger and inspire one's light. You just look at it from the realm of you're true to the expression of your truth, and you are here to just shine the light. It is the way that they take you, it's a reflection of whether they're in their light or they're still in their shadow side. They're awakening or they still want to be asleep. And we have to honor and respect both. That is not, and that's where we give up control in the spiritual ego. It is not our job to facilitate the awakening of the planet and awakening of other people. It's simply our job to be the expression and channel and live and be lead by example. Everybody is meant to be their own leader. We don't need a guru and a leader on the top who's superior to everyone else. That model doesn't work, and it leads to the ego, and that's breaking down. So it's about seeing others equally in the light of who we are, right? And building that unity consciousness. Now, this journey requires the wisdom of the divine and the love frequency. So we meet at our heart chakra because it's really important. When we are in the spiritual journey, we accumulate a lot of wisdom that is beyond this 3D realm, right? You don't learn in schools, and it wakes you up to the matrix, and it wakes you up to the systems that are broken in this, you know, world that has been fed off of collective ego. And it's not to get stuck in that fear-based thinking, because when we do, we give energy to that collective ego. And it's not just being, oh, spiritual kumbaya, love and light. If that was the case, we would have stayed on the spiritual realm. We were brought in the human world. We had chosen to come to the human world for a specific reason. And so we have to integrate those two things. So with the spiritual ego specifically is that it has a lot of knowledge, but it's not integrated into our being, meaning it's still stuck in our head. We're still very cognitive, rational thinking about it. We have moments of clarity and divinity, maybe when we meditate or we're channeling. We do have moments, but we can't stay in that realm because our frequency and our nervous system has not elevated to that. So when we When we are now starting to integrate, we're integrating our shadow sides. And for me, it's like meeting your humanity. Your humanity are just your lower three chakras. And when it's in the positive polarity realm of meeting your shadow work, doing somatic work, being and experiencing the felt sense of safety in your body. So this is really the regulation work of dealing with our emotions. We're humans because of this emotional aspect. And so the more we clear out our traumas, our generational traumas, the patterns, the timelines, the fear-based constructs that we see in the world, the more we clear it out, unhook from those fear-based thinking and elevate and see from the eyes of the divine, right? The frequency of love, which is with patience, with abundance, with understanding, with generosity, with playfulness, with presence, right? We have to be present and rooted into this moment in order to access a felt sense of safety. That if something's overwhelming us because of our mind, an intrusive thought comes into our force field. I don't think thoughts are ours. I think there's a field, and like, say, for example, in that field, I am ugly, or I'm not enough, or I'm a bad mom is in the field. And that thought comes into my force field, my auric field, that might come into your auric field, it comes into somebody else. It's the same thought, but is it going to hook? And if it's sticky, if someone believes in it, if there's still some wounds or stories or overcouplings around that in my system, it's going to attach to me only to be the red flag to be like, hey, this is a thought. It created a sensation in your body because it needs to be cleared out. And the more we look at it, it's like, this is not identifying with the thought. It didn't come from us. It's like someone planted it and it's in the ethers and the force fields. Just like my design, my idea to write a book, it wasn't me. It was like there's this dropped into my ether. And I think other people probably had the same idea. It's just that I was like, I'm going to take action and do this. And that's why there's a lot of times like books with like similar ideas come out at around the same time. Or even like on Instagram, I see this. There's a pattern of like people talking about similar things in waves. Because that's what the consciousness needs to see and hear and learn at that moment. And then it changes because it's fluid and it's flexible. Just like the first thing that I said, there's no rigidity in the spiritual experience. And that also means the spiritual truths that we learn, there's no attachment to that, because the more we elevate, the rules and the concepts and the constructs expand. And that means releasing and unlearning what you've learned to be able to hold the capacity of something new and something bigger and something expansive. So living at the heart frequency for me is instrument consciousness, where it's not the ego's take and keep energy. And it's like give and expand and it's like radiating out. And it's like you are so rooted in the truth of who you are. You're just a natural expression of it. You have capacity in your body. You're so in tune with the energetics of your body. And when you do that, and you're now, meditation really is in the realm of helping you clear out your rational mind so that divine consciousness can enter into your higher mind and drop downloads and wisdom and perspectives that are from the highest good, not from our limited consciousness of our rational mind or human mind. And so that's when the mind becomes this tool, this vessel of receiving downloads. And so that's where a regulation works is the foundation that we do in this 3D realm, the humanity. And then the divinity is the spiritual realm of this whole force field of spiritual wisdom that's there that we have access to. Should we tune our frequency, our radio antenna to the right dial, and that information will come through to us, so long as our mind is not hooked onto that lower frequency thoughts, right? So the level of thoughts that come to us is based on the frequency of like what channel that we have activated in our body. And that's the level of thoughts that are going to come through to us. And there's certain thoughts, like for example, like I'm fat. That may come through my force field and it means nothing to me because I don't relate to that thought anymore. But it could come into somebody else's force field and it hurts. Like when you see someone who's lost weight and they're fit, it could activate and trigger those thoughts. I am fat. I'm unhealthy. Like, look at them. And that's when we know that the ego is showing up simply to give us a red flag of we are judging and we're in a state of comparison and we're in a state of feeling lack. How do we heal and transmit those thoughts from a higher perspective? And the divine, once you accept it, when you're in a channeled state, it will give you the steps, like this is your next step of how to heal this and what to do. And it'll then be your own journey of health, wellness, healing that is right for you based on where you're at. But it's all about attuning to the frequency of our heart, our higher self. And I do talk about frequency as far as like music, like solfeggio music, bilateral music. There's different Hertz music that activate different sensations and experiences and frequencies in our body. So if you're struggling with opening your heart, music is a powerful way to unleash those emotions and that frequency. Another is being in nature, right? It orients us to the safety and the groundedness of that. It helps us activate our soul. Another thing is that rose oil. I love rose oil because the smell of rose is actually the highest Hertz amount in the physical realm. So it's going to activate an experience. So using your senses to your benefit, closing your eyes and meditating, obviously, because that helps you go inward. The other things with heart frequency is mantra meditation, like listening. For me, I love Radhika Das and listening to like the sweethearts, Radhe Govinda, the kirtan, because that is a heart opening. Chanting mantras, you know, that doing it from your whole body opens your heart frequency. Om chanting, really simply. But the idea is that when you're activated from this place of your heart, the prayer and the idea is that you're no longer service to yourself, it's service to others, and it's instrument consciousness. Like, dear divine, please use me as an instrument of your divine peace. What would you have me say? What would you have me do? And to whom and to what? So whoever you meet today, may they experience your light, whether it's through a smile, through opening the door. I'm a big proponent of random acts of kindness, being so rooted in my body, whether I'm going to the grocery store or I'm driving, that I am present. And if someone cuts me off, rather than the thought of like, oh my gosh, I let them go first, then the ego would be like, no, I need to go first. Be like, I wonder what's happened to them that they're in such a rush, or maybe they're disconnected. There's always an empathetic alternative explanation or understanding to the thing. And so I activate, whether it's the reason or not, I activate that field of higher wisdom through divinity when I have the pause, the capacity in my body to be like, ooh, that's my ego getting activated. I feel that stress charge. Settle with it, be with it, not bypass it. Feel safety in my body by looking around and looking and tuning to something safe, feeling into that, breathing into that, and then asking myself like the question, being very curious, right? The opposite of judgmental, which is a statement, is curiosity. And I ask, is there an alternative explanation for this, an empathetic explanation? And I will let my mind, my critical thinking mind, run wild. Like, maybe this is an option, or maybe this is it. And I'll just pick on one that feels good and settling to my body that my ego can't hook to. Like, oh, maybe they're in a rush, like they have an emergency. So I'm glad that I'm able to let them go first, because maybe they can get to their destination. I bless them and I hope that they get to their place on time. And then you send a little silent prayer and you're done. You're not hooked into that. You didn't create an emotional experience where now you're creating anger and frustration that lives in your body and stress activation. So this was a long one, but it was really the deep foundation of what it means to be a soul-aligned human. And every podcast after this is going to be nuances of this. So let me know if you have any questions around this. Talk to me on Instagram. You know where to find me, Thejal V. Patel. And I hope this serves you. I really, really do. I hope this breaks down what the heck we're here to do, why we're here, what's the purpose of the spiritual journey? And it sometimes is really great to have a big perspective of it, right? Of like, okay, this is kind of the blueprint of what it is. Now your own individual journeys will look very different and the experiences will look very different, but you kind of have an outline a little bit. So I'm sending you so much love and prayers, and I hope this serves you well. Have a beautiful one.
For taking time to listen to this podcast today. I really hope it resonates with your soul and you take something really positive away from it. If you found benefit and value, I would so be grateful if you take a moment of your time to just head over to Apple Podcasts or iTunes and leave a rating and review. This really does help other moms who are looking for positivity and wisdom to find the podcast. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a blessed day.